right, it is a social distancing wine pod with one Beau Robert Root. If we got out a ruler right now, you know, you are in my house right now.
Hello!
Hey!
Hello!
We were, because we've had a couple of different conversations like, should we do this? Should you come over? Should we not? Like, what are we doing here? And we brought you in as if you were Hannibal Lecter. We wheeled you into the house. We told you to hold your breath.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, Maeva. And we brought you down here. I disinfected this whole place, and you know we're 6 feet apart from each other, and we're not going to hug after the pod, which is going to be hard, but it's going to be good.
It's going to be hard. Thank goodness for this table.
Yes.
The AOI studio table.
Look at you. You're natural with this.
And it is. It's a big arc, and it's separating us a true 6 feet.
Yeah. Well, we're good.
Which is perfect. But yeah, it's kind of bizarre to have to call your best friend and say, okay, is everybody okay with me coming over, disinfect the whole room, I'll come in the back door, not come near you, you'll pour the wine, and then we'll talk to each other from a safe distance for an hour, then I'll leave.
Right. I mean, because you're kind of like, yeah, there's a feel. It's like, are we breaking protocol here? But the big thing is, you know, we're taping this on a Friday night, March 20th. It's about 7:40 p.m. Central Time. You know, the number you've heard is 10 people. Avoid groups of 10 or more. States, you know, social distancing of 10 or 6 feet apart from everybody. We're adhering to all those things. But this is crazy. I mean, how... I don't even know where to begin with this stuff, with this coronavirus conversation, but I think it's fairly safe to say that this is going to be the most disruptive event in our lifetime.
Unquestionably. So you think of our lifetime and you think of only probably 9/11.
Yes.
And that was a huge deal, changed a lot of our attitudes, right?
Yeah.
It changed our lives a little bit.
And it changed the people that fly, that it changed one industry for forever, the airline industry.
The military, you know, we sort of got ourselves into a war on terror from that. And then the airline industry obviously changed. But our day-to-day after that was not a big difference. I mean, it was a week or two where, like, you know...
Yeah, you're like, okay, what else is going to happen?
Yeah,
are we going to war right away?
It was a shock.
Yeah.
It was mourning. It was an adjustment period. But this is the first, like, global economic health scare of this. Like, it's never happened in our lifetime. It's freakish. It's freakish that it just sort of stumbled into it, even though we saw it months ago.
Right.
And now it's serious.
It's just amazing how fast all this has progressed here, you know, in our life. I mean, just a little over a week ago, 8 days ago, when the sun came up 8 days ago, last Thursday, the NCAA tournament was still on. The conference tournaments were still on for basketball. The NBA season was, you kind of assumed it was like, oh, it's going to come back. At this point, I don't know what you think. I'd be kind of surprised if we get any conclusion to this NBA season at all.
No, not, especially not the NBA, because they've had so much.
Yeah, so many guys test positive.
Yeah. I mean, spring football, spring recruiting. I mean, these are huge things in our lives with sports. And I mean, give me your take right now on life.
Okay.
I guess this last week, how much has changed and you're here today?
Oh, like, God.
What are you feeling?
Well, I mean, I think that's the question is, like, how are we all adjusting to being basically quarantined? You know, how's that going for everybody? Now, everybody's experience is going to be a little bit different based on what your day-to-day life was prior to. And, you know, like, your experience is going to be a little bit different because you don't have any kids yet. I'm at, you know, like, Kim's had to go to work. She's a nurse for a couple of days. Like, and, you know, I'm in the house all day with a four-year-old. And you should have seen. So we had this idea. And it's a good idea. And we're not punting on it by any stretch of the imagination. But we're like, you know what we're going to do? She's still going to go to preschool.
I
am her preschool. I am her preschool teacher. You find out she saw right through my, like, all right, now we're going to go over here. And she was like, shit, we ain't going over.
How about we watch Peppa Pig, Dad? You're like,
She was like, we're not going to turn on Nick Jr. I'm like, no, we're not. We tried arts and crafts time. Well, God, I should have brought it down here. We got out crayons and we just drew pictures. I drew a picture of my house. You got to see it because it is
I already know it's bad.
It's so bad. But you try. A lot of people are trying that. A lot of people are trying to homeschool their kids during this time. And you want to keep them on some semblance of a routine. And it's hard, you know? Oh, like, it's really hard. And so you, this week... Like you said it, like, I don't think it's really sunk in for every, I don't think it's really hit everybody yet.
No.
Of what is really happening. And you just, I found myself this week, I've handled being quarantined way worse than I thought I would handle it so far. But I think the hardest thing, and I don't know how you are with this, balancing seeking out information and getting on your phone, getting on Twitter, getting on social media, getting and turning on the TV and watching the news, balancing, because you like you want to know what's going on versus trying to maintain some sanity of living your life and like that. I think that's been the balance. Like, there's been sometimes I just am like, I gotta put my phone down.
Nick, that's I'm so glad you just said that, because I told my wife today before I came over. I said, honey, I don't know that I've been on my phone and computer more than I have the last 3 days in my entire life. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, like, work from home, all of our work stuff now, we're doing these like Zoom meetings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And just for the sake of doing it almost. And then I feel like everybody I know is texting and FaceTiming me. And I'm like, I'm kind of like, we're only like 3 days into this, you know, like, I'm like it's almost, you know, like people are just, they're already kind of going to that place where it's like they have access to potential information and it's going to be a nonstop loop of trying to get more and more and more. And it's almost like, you just need to know what you need to know and then just like get away from it.
There have been a couple times I've truthfully had to do like I have to take my phone, put it upstairs. And like when I was trying to be Mavis preschool teacher, I had to take my phone upstairs and just be like, I have to just get this phone away from me.
Yeah.
Because you just you go crazy. I've noticed this week I've slept poor. I haven't slept well. You know, you try to do, you and I have our routines. We like to read before we go to bed. You know, you feel the pages and the eyelids get heavy and it's great, you know. But even like when I shut off that light, I can't slow my mind down. I just can't do it, you know.
I think I was writing a few thoughts before this pod, and one of the thoughts I wrote was this whole thing for 98% of the people is not going to be about health and physical well-being, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a portion that are vulnerable, that this could be deadly, sure, and it's scary. And I mean, that's what we're all trying to work together for. But for the rest of the people, it's a mental battle. It's all this is going to be. Is, can you handle being disciplined? Can you handle not doing what you normally do? And can you handle like
just staying inside,
by yourself? And I think there's going to be, it's going to get weird here, because you see how people are acting after like 3 days. It's like, you know.
Oh, if there was a progress report, I have failed already. I don't know what, I don't know what it is. I think there is an element of like, you are the shock value of everything. You kind of are like paralyzed by that. Yeah. Like, you need to settle into something. And I don't know what that something is for me, But I have had a hard time balancing being like, I need to, you know what's been huge for me, and I'd recommend this for everybody, I know you, I'll preach to you on this, like working out, taking at least 30 minutes a day and just work out. The best I've felt every single day is after my workout.
We've done a workout and we take a walk too. Go out, get outside, yeah. Take a walk. There's nobody on the streets. The streets were empty today. We walked the streets and there was not a soul in sight. So you're totally safe walking outside. But it's nuts.
It's nuts right now. But so I've not done well. I don't know what it is.
I'm gonna get a call from you and you're gonna be like,
I really think
quarantine day five.
Well, I don't think people understand. Like it is. Like we're staring down the barrel of at least 8 weeks of this. I want you to really think about all the stuff that I've read and learned. We're looking at, I mean, Anthony Fauci, the head honcho for the infectious disease right hand man in the White House. Like he's all the consistent thing you've heard is probably 8 weeks, bro. We're like not even a week in, and It's been hard.
Quarantine
day
time. Five. We're out of Eggos.
I have watched.
We're switching to Cheetos now. That's all we have left. It's getting dire. The whole thing.
Food becomes a big thing. You're like excited about like, hey, what are we doing for food? Food becomes a thing you're looking forward to the next in your day. Well, how have you seem like you're kind of uniquely built for this. You don't have social media. You have Facebook, but you're not on Twitter. You are as technologically detached as anybody I know.
Yeah. With work, though, I've been on my, it's a lot more emails, calls, and, you know, we did some of these meetings, these Zoom meetings where you're, you know, videoing, linking in or whatever. And I think I'm built to handle this okay because If I got time, I'll just disconnect more and I'll enjoy it. And I feel very fortunate though that, you know, we got friends that own their own businesses that have to shut down. Mm-hmm. There's people that are hourly wagers or they work in service industries or things that are going to get hit hard. And I swear to God, I've never felt more like unconcerned with myself and more concerned with other people than right now, probably. Right. Just because like, I swear to you, I just feel like, okay, this isn't great for me, but like, I know that this is not nearly as bad as some people are in the situation, right?
No doubt.
Like right now, there are some people that are like, they know it's like, it's going to be hard to pay the bills. And mm-hmm. So you got to feel for those people. So for me, it's like, I really don't want to complain about having to like self-isolate. Cause like, if that's my biggest problem, that's not a big problem comparatively to them.
The other thing too, see here's, and this is where there's like just a weird yin and yang to that, is the more information you seek out, to me, the more motivated I've become to play my part in self-isolating.
Yep.
So that's where it is important to each day take out a little bit of time and go, okay, what's happening? What, you know, listening to, you know, people that know are in the know. And getting information, because when you get that information, that's when you're like, okay, it provides purpose to what you're doing. Everybody For sure. needs purpose. What you can't do is like, what wouldn't work right now is like, if it was just some, like everybody has to go stay inside and you're like, well, why? People need a why in life. And I think now hopefully most people understand why. And that's helped me, I guess.
Yeah. And I think people are going to have to figure out that balance. Like you said, you're talking about balance of you need to know what's going on. You need to read the paper or get on and check out what's going on. But you don't need to be on your phone and computer for 12 hours
no
a day.
No doubt.
Take an hour a day, figure out what you need to know, you know, make some phone calls, text some people, and then do the things maybe that you've wanted to do
right
on your own time. But like, if you're going to be stressing for 8 weeks,
people
are
going
to go crazy.
You're going to lose your mind. It's been hard. It's been interesting with a kid. Now, I'm fortunate enough, at Mavis 4 years old, I really sympathize with people with kids that are a little bit older where they can kind of wrap their mind around it.
Yeah.
We've tried to kind of like, Kim and I sat down and we're like, hey, what are we going to tell Mava? You know, because obviously her preschool's canceled. She started swim lessons and she's so into swim lessons, like beyond into it. It's great. You know, it's been so much fun. It's, by the way, look, watching Kit, like, she picked it up so fast. It's great. It was really good. But like, you got to explain to them, hey, we're not going to school. Hey, you can't go play with your friend. Hey, you can't, like, right now you can't, like, Mava loves my mom. My mom lives 5 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to go to Nana's. And I'm like, you can't go to Nana's. It's like, well, why? And we've tried to say, well, everybody's doing an at-home vacation right now. And we're going to, you try to think of like creative ways to like having a kid at home has added a layer of like the times you really want to disconnect, you cannot with a child sitting there.
Yeah.
Which has been hard.
Yeah, I've noticed all my friends with kids are losing their minds way quicker.
Well, and Mava, you can tell 4-year-olds, they don't tell you they're losing their mind. They just like,
they show you.
They show you. They're like, I'm going to throw a fit.
Or they get super silly or they just throw a fit.
Yeah, like, I mean, just anything. They're much, at age 4, she just, it, when she, the first 2 days, it just didn't take much for a meltdown to occur. Mm-hmm. And that's always a sign of like stuff's weighing on her a little bit, you know, more than, you know, because they understand like, well, what's going on here? Why are we staying here? You know, like, why am I not going to school? Why am I like, I don't get it. And so having a kid involved in all this stuff's been interesting too.
The other fun thing to see is basically is like, let's look 9 to 12 months from now. There's going to be two things. There's going to be a lot of babies born, and there's going to be a lot of divorces. Because this is going to, it's going to pull you one way or the other.
That's right.
Either you're going to be like,
because there's just no escape. I mean, like, whoever you are with, there's no escaping that person.
Nope.
You know?
Or families. Like, I think there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time not at home. They come back, they're not really like somebody that spends a lot of time at home. So a lot of people are going to get to know their families, you know, a lot better or for worse. They're going to have to go through getting to know these people that they maybe don't spend as much time with.
One thing I've thought about with everything that's going on with the quarantine life is, in a lot of ways, this is it's an amazing premise to a movie, right? You know, coming this summer, a world where everyone is quarantined and cannot leave their house. You know, I mean, and the thing I've kind of tried to tell myself is like, now this movie can either be like a horror movie and, you know, people go cuckoo and, you know, you get like
Emily Blunt in quarantine. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Oh my God.
You can be Jack Nicholson in The Shining. You know, you know, and go and just, you know, go cuckoo.
All work and no play. Here's Johnny. Jack, a dull boy.
Preschool's in session. You know, you can have.
I don't have the time or the inclination to explain myself to why I quarantine or why I don't. I'd rather you just say thank you and have your vaccine.
Oh, is that good? You got to do a good Jack. I didn't realize I could have a Jackie.
I watched a few Good Men the other
recently.
Night. In the quarantine, I've watched a few Good Men.
Good.
It's what you do when you get quarantined.
You got to watch a few Good Men. But so this could be a horror movie, or it could be like, you know, now all of a sudden upbeat music starts playing and I'm like, what I found out when I was quarantined, that all you ever really need, you know, like a corny part of it, of like, you realize you
would love the corny
one. I would love the corny one. You know what I'm saying? I like it when everybody starts high-fiving and hugging each other.
Every story you ever wrote ends up with, it turns out they were brothers
and in love, and it was great.
We had a great
But time. You see what I'm saying, though? Like, everybody, we like this crazy social experiment, it can kind of go a lot of different directions for, I'm talking about just like humanity. There's the science and the physical part of all this stuff, but the relationship aspect of all this, it's like, it's a challenge for people. This is going to be an interesting challenge. Like, do we come out on the other side of this with a better relationship with yourself, a better relationship with your wife, a better relationship with your kid, a deeper appreciation of your friends and seeing people and the, you know, all the things that you just kind of with the way life is structured, you kind of just take for granted or don't think about or don't appreciate. Like, now all that stuff is going to get like shifted a little bit.
We'll see. Here's the issues. And me and you, we talk about taking life for granted a lot. You know, ever since your surgery and your scare, we've talked about never taking life for granted.
Yes.
And I always watch, you know, sort of the human dynamic more ever since then. And my brother said the same thing. I was like, we won't take life for granted after this. You know, we talked today. He said, that's what, after this, people are going to, I'm like, no, they won't.
No,
they'll like, if they back. Go back to normal, it'll go right back to, gosh, you know what? I'm so sick at work. You know what this guy said? It really bugged me. It's like, that doesn't matter. Remember when you were quarantined for a year? But they won't remember because people don't remember.
Well, that's, but it goes back, and not to get too far off the reservation here with this, with our conversation, like, my big thing, and we need some more wine. By the way, side note, this wine, this is the wine I had in California and LA for my weekend of studio. It is like, it's my favorite wine. This is just delicious. It's fantastic. I love it.
I will vouch for
you're
going to
vouch
wine.
For it for Nick Baugh's wine.
This wine is extremely tasty.
Oh, it's good. FEL Pinot Noir 2017 Anderson Valley. It's pretty darn good. We got to stay even. So let me TID here, Doug, before we get too crowd code. What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. We got sidetracked with the wine. We're talking about perspective. What I've learned with my health scare, you know, I had a tumor, chest cracked open, had, you know, figured out if it was cancer or not. It wasn't. It's great, right? That I came out the other side good, but like, you know, when you're laying in that hospital bed or you're that 2 weeks, you're waiting your cancer results, you're like, man, I'm never going to complain. I'm going to soak up every day. I'm going to da, da, da. And like, what you realize is I found myself when you resume life, getting really angry at myself when I would succumb to that. Like I'd get angry at the fact that I was angry. Like, you know, if that makes sense.
That's it.
But what I've learned is like perspective is a daily battle. Like life for some reason is built to kind of chip away at your perspective. And that's a part of the battle of trying to like your defense at like maintaining it. Now, again, like I said at the outset of this is going to be the most disruptive event of our lifetime. It'll be interesting to see how everybody comes out on the back end of this, but I'm probably with your cynical side of it. Is like, people are going to go right back to like, no, the Wi-Fi is slow. What's the, how does this place not have Wi-Fi?
Yeah, how is it not?
How are we, what, oh God, traffic. Who is that? Someone has a flat tire. Get, you know,
here's where I'll give humanity some credit though. Here's my prediction on this moment.
Okay.
I believe.
Pour more wine.
Yes, I'll take a full glass, sir. I believe in the human race. I believe we are at our best when times are the hardest. It actually makes it almost simpler for us. It's like, do the best thing, the right thing.
Yep.
And we know when it's time, when those moments are so crazy, when it's war and when it's crisis, people step up. I think people struggle more when it's too easy or when there's no problem. So I think
such a good point.
If this thing gets worse, people will step up. They'll do what they need to do to get through this thing, and we'll all adapt, and it will get through it. No question in my mind we'll get through it. The problem will be as soon as it gets back to normal,
you're so right.
We'll fall back.
Our buddy Willie said basically the exact same thing. He was like, I find myself in tough times. That's when things are the most clear.
That's it. You go for it. You do it. You got to do it.
I'm not sure I ever saw life more clear than during my health scare.
What mattered?
Because everything just gets stripped to, well, that doesn't matter. Well, this doesn't matter. Well, that matters. That matters. And that matters.
Family, friends, health.
That's it.
You know,
that's
like
all that
the big ones.
That's it. And so, yeah, I think during this time, maybe people will, I think people will actually do really well. But when you go back, who knows? Who knows what will happen? But I did think that. Did you see McConaughey's message to everyone?
I didn't. I saw he said something. I didn't get to read it.
It though. Was first of all, it was the most. It was just so Matthew McConaughey.
I love McConaughey, by the
but
way.
But he, what you need guy. To. I mean, it was just 90 seconds, but it was the perfect message for everyone. And it was, you know, it was like, you know, every red light's going to have a green light. You know, like we're going to get through this. But he talked about how, like, you know, how we're talking about this is just the most disruptive event, but it's one of the first times ever that we meaning everybody, not just Italy, not just China, not just, you know, we being everybody, we are all fighting a faceless, nameless, sexless, raceless, bipartisan, you know, like it common enemy.
Yeah.
And there's something that's like, it'll be, in some ways, I'm also kind of like, not. I'm excited to see what can happen when all of us come together and really try to all push for the same thing.
We'll come.
You
through.
Would think
that's
we can't
what
be stopped. You know,
that's what happens. You find out is when everybody gets on board. It's like it gets it, like amazing things can happen.
Absolutely
amazing things.
What I wrote down a couple of things. What was, and I think I know the answer to this, and in all reality, some of these conversations, maybe we should have done a wine pod a couple of days ago, but the reality is all this stuff, everybody's soaking it up in the moment. What was the big, what was the big moment that jolted you into, like, because I think it was easy for, we've known about coronavirus for
months,
you know? Was there a moment, an event, an article you read, something you heard, something that, that made you go like, whoa.
Since this is a sports and entertainment podcast, I'm going to lean probably towards my gut and say when they started canceling the big sporting events is when I sort of went like, oh, like they would never cancel these big sporting events. They'd never cancel the NBA. They'd never cancel March Madness. That's people making billions of dollars off of these things.
No, literally, there's $1 billion at stake with the NCAA tournament.
You kind of like, it slaps you in the face to go, and you go, the money doesn't matter because it's that big. And when do you say that otherwise?
Yeah.
Never. The money always wins. Money always wins. And this is the one time I've ever seen in my life where you go, yeah, 9/11 and this is the two, I guess that's two times where money doesn't matter. It's like, hey, this is bigger than that.
Hey, quick break to talk to you guys about Pella Windows and Doors. And with everyone being quarantined right now, I'm sure you have a lot of time to kind of stare out your window and I fantasize what it would be like to walk out of your front door. And in the midst of staring out the window and thinking about walking out your front door, I'm sure a lot of you have realized, you know what? My windows need an update. I need new windows. I need a new front door. And there's no doubt that a new set of windows, a new front door, it can make a statement. It can totally change the way your home looks and feels. And when you go with Pella, there is the peace of mind, and I had no idea that this was the case, that you're only going to be working with Pella throughout this entire process. I had no idea that if you go with some other window and door companies, I won't name names, but questions pop up like who's pre-finishing it, who's going to install it, and before you know it, you're dealing with like four or five or six different people. That sounds like a giant headache. You want the convenience and simplicity of working with one company, not three or four. That's what you get with Pella. Great people over there. They're great at what they do. You can give Pella a call, 402-493-1350, 493-1350, or check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. Back to the wine pod. And again, we're going back to something that happened a week ago, but when the announcement came that the NBA, because that was the first one, when the announcement came, the NBA was canceled first or suspended indefinitely or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it was Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. And then the next day, or then basically like an hour after Rudy Gobert tests positive, there, you know, Woj drops the bomb from Adam Silver that NBA is canceled indefinitely. And that is, because for me, I was at the Big East tournament and my first thought was like, well, bye-bye NCAA tournament. I mean, there's no way. There's no way that the NBA can be canceled, but the NCAA tournament is played. Yeah. So the NCAA tournament being canceled felt more like Well, obviously it was like when the news actually came down, NCAA tournament canceled. It was more like, of course it is.
Yeah.
So it all goes back to the NBA being canceled.
NBA was first. That's right.
Which actually probably leads us into the big question that you and I talked about wanting to get into, of what have we learned about sports and its role in society and our lives in this short period of time?
And I told you I want to hear your take before because I need to digest a little bit.
Because I think, I think in large part what you just pointed to. I asked you what was the big whoa moment, and you said it was sports. And you're not, that isn't just because this is a sports podcast, we're sports guys. I think one of the things you've realized is how enormous of a role sports has in our world, our culture, our society, our day-to-day lives. And I think also the one thing of looking forward to something. And to me, sports being canceled was kind of the linchpin of the wake-up call of like, whoa, this is serious. And I can't, I'd have to imagine I'm not alone in that sentiment. And I tweeted this and I said this on my first, on the podcast that I dropped a couple days ago. There was a weird intersection of over this past week of that, like we all know sports are trivial in the grand scheme of life. Like it, I mean, what are we talking? I mean, we're talking sometimes if you really say it out loud, I mean, we're talking about like we freak out over 11 guys versus 11 guys with a helmet on trying to get a football past a certain point and we
pass
will
the line.
I mean, it's like, it's stupid, right? We even though sports are trivial in the grand scheme of things, they are so important for a distraction in life. And there's been this weird intersection of those two things of like people being like, well, why? People have never needed sports more and also not needed sports more. Does that make sense? Like we need the NCAA tournament so what we should be doing right now is drinking wine, watching NCAA tournament games. But at the same time, you go like if that was happening right now, you'd go like, how? Why are these people playing basketball games right now? Like that doesn't matter. So I think there's this weird, those two worlds coming into each other that has kind of unfolded over the past week.
Yeah, I think it just makes me realize how much I love sports and I don't even think it's distraction. I think it's sort of the camaraderie that I feel when I watch them. Like mm-hmm. You feel tied to your team. You feel like you and your people are together in, you know, doing this thing and watching these moments together. And
right.
And you, like I said, you have things to look forward to. I mean, the NCAA tournament, I had it blocked out. I was not going to go to work for 2 days because I was going to go watch games.
As is everybody else.
And
you know?
I've done that for my whole life. So those, not having the opportunity to do those things that you've always done, it's kind of like, it's just another adjustment we're going to have to make. And it feels weird.
I just think also though, where sports being canceled wasn't just a sports story. It was a front page, holy shit story. And I think it goes to show you how it's easy to dismiss sports and minimize sports, but clearly it has an enormous platform, it has enormous influence, and I think that's something with, again, like, I'm telling you, if Rudy Gobert doesn't test positive for coronavirus,
this might be a week delayed. Everything's a week behind.
Probably.
And an extra 10,000 people might die.
Yes. Because one player on the Utah Jazz tested positive for coronavirus, that woke everybody up to a global pandemic. So it's like, it speaks to the power of celebrity in this world, well, you know, but like...
When somebody said Tom Hanks had it, everyone's like... Because this is the next wave here. Because they say a big percentage of us are going to end up getting this.
Yes.
You know Rudy Gobert. You know Tom Hanks. None of us know anybody else that's gotten coronavirus. But that's going to happen. And yeah. Let me just tell you something. When you know somebody that gets it, you ain't leaving the freaking house, man.
Right.
That's the thing that did for people. Or
you get it.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I know Rudy Gobert.
Right.
I guarantee... I watch Rudy Gobert. Tom Hanks is my favorite actor. Tom Hanks got it?
Right.
He's like America's dad, yes. They say. So when America's dad gets coronavirus, anybody can get coronavirus.
Right.
So I think, like you said, that was...
Yeah, it hasn't hit home. It hit home because you love sports, but you're right. Like, it hasn't... I don't think it's really hit home
because
for the vast majority of people.
When you start knowing people that this is going to hit, because it's going to hit people you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to start really being like... It won't be some sort of just like abstract, this is out there in the world. This is in China. This is in Italy. Like... This is floating around our country right now in our state. It's real.
Well, because that's the thing. You talked about how it's like right now it's kind of an abstract, like a lot of this has disrupted everyone's lives without it really hitting home to what you're saying. Like the thing that's amazing is how so many people dismiss death when it doesn't have a face or a name or it's not someone you know. You know, some people are like, okay, well, you know what, man? If a million people die, I mean, it's like, what?
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people. Yeah. You're just going to ho-hum a million people dying?
Yeah.
Or like, and so to your point, like over the coming, because the reality is, again, we're taping this on March 20th. Like it hasn't even really hit yet.
Yeah.
Like once this shit starts affecting people you know, you love, all that stuff, all of a sudden it's going to snap you into gear because there has been, and granted it's a part of like the educational process, but the people that do test positive for this, one of the things they immediately do is they want to get out the work, like Marcus Smart test positive, all these people want to put out a video that's like, hey man, take care of yourself, be safe out there, like
keep your distance,
follow the guidelines that are set out right now. But I don't know, I think, you know, we talk about like the perspective on things, and again, it sounds stupid to be like, I'm not so sure that I don't think sports matter more now than I did a week. Like I always knew sports was like our lives, but like sports plays a valuable role in society, whether you want to admit it or not. It is a huge part of everyone's day-to-day life. And whether you even realize, like, I finally it was just out of habit. You turn on the TV and you go to ESPN, watch, you go to Fox Sports One, it was a habit to, you go to ESPN and you go, okay, well, who's playing tonight? Or what, how, like every morning I just be like, oh, did Bron play last night? How many did Bron have? Like
that's been our life. I mean, growing up, I would get up and I'd check the, you know, I'd look at the sports page my whole life. And now the sports page is like, they are really searching for things to write about. And, you know, I mean, the only news right now is NFL free agency.
Right.
Tom Brady, the Bucks. That's the only news of the last week.
Thank God for that news, for people to have something to talk about.
There would be nothing else to talk about. And there might not be anything else to talk about for weeks after this, but.
Yeah,
I know the guy, if you remember the horse racing guy, the really white hair, his horses always are like in the top couple of the Kentucky.
Okay.
He got white hair.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
so you're talking about someone on ESPN, like Barry Melrose type guy.
No, this is the horse racing, he's a horse
racer. Is there one hockey expert in the world Barry Melrose?
Barry Melrose has to do everything hockey. It's like everybody in ESPN that works there doesn't know shit about hockey. So they go, and there's a hockey game. We don't know about hockey. Call Barry real quick.
I swear to God.
Yeah, well, you know it. Look at this guy here. This is Hoover Van Luva. He's up from Saskatoon. He's up from Saskatoon, and he just is a great one. Look at that move he just did. And everyone's like, yes, what Barry said. I agree with Barry.
No one knows anything about hockey other than Barry Melrose. Barry Melrose's hair is getting longer and longer and longer. But okay, what were you saying about the white hair?
Saskatoon.
I don't like hockey. I don't like, I mean.
You just don't know about
hockey. I don't know, but
you
like,
need to talk to Barry. He'll explain it
but
to you.
Something about whenever I see Barry Melrose, like anytime SVP is like, let's bring on Barry Melrose. I'm like, all right, I'll sit through Barry.
You got to like Melrose. He's good.
Stuff. He's a good guy. Okay, what about the white guy that's the horse racing
guy? Anyway, like horse racing's in a prime spot to make a comeback. So they had this guy on like ESPN all day. Like he's like, yep, horse racing. Horses aren't sick. So they're like. That's the only thing left to bet on.
Right.
So people are like getting back in. So right now in sports, if there was anybody that could play, if basketball could say, we got healthy players, we're going to play without fans, the amount of eyes that would be on a really good sport, if we had an event, like if there was a big boxing match or there was a big basketball game, or even if they would have played March Madness with no fans, the amount of people watching, it would be unbelievable.
Well, do you understand? One of the first things I thought of, and I figured it was maybe done, but it's clearly not. Like ESPN has come out and said it's not quite finished. They need to be, how every scientist in the world is going all in on trying to figure out what to do with this coronavirus. Every single ESPN producer and anyone involved with The Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan documentary, needs to be working day and night to get that thing completed and pushed out. How many people? It was going to do a number in normal life. How many people would watch the 10-part documentary of Michael Jordan's final season with Chicago Bulls?
So I think I don't know what the numbers are. You know, people have the number like, oh, they did a 4.7 or a 10, 12, whatever. You know, the Super Bowl does 80 million people, let's say, right? It wouldn't maybe be that
It won't
number,
be the Super Bowl.
But, like, it would be somewhere, like, it would be a huge number of people because all these sports fans from all these different, they'd be like, well, here's Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Everybody knows Michael Jordan, and everybody would tune in to watch Michael Jordan.
He is sports royalty.
He's number one.
He's number one. Sports. He's pretty much the sports king.
Number one.
And we'd finally have something on TV that is sports related that isn't a replay.
Yeah.
I think it would do like NBA Finals numbers.
Better
like
than that.
I think it would no, get, I think 20, 25 million people would watch it.
I bet.
So if you're right. ESPN and you're starving for what the hell are we going to put on our TV? Like if I were running ESPN, I would be like,
Nick, nothing's
more important than getting that documentary completed.
I think that's already in the works because somebody mentioned that.
Yes.
And then a week later, and this was maybe yesterday or the day before.
There was a comment on it.
Well, no, there was a commercial for it.
And it said coming soon or what?
It said something coming soon or it said, it showed the like clips of it and said, my, you know, last day. And I was like, oh, they're trying to get to it. They're trying to move it up as fast as they can. So whatever's been shot's been shot. It's just a matter of
editing it. It's just a matter of editing it. But like that's what they need to like because they were going to debut it, I think, in June.
Probably after the
draft or maybe like
probably after the finals.
Maybe after the finals to bridge them into free agency.
Yeah,
you're probably right. It probably was going to be late June because they want to. You know, you think about owning
draft so you get late June. Right?
So yeah, so you get like you know they would have playoffs, finals.
Jordan documentary.
Draft Jordan documentary or vice versa, then NBA free agency.
Yep.
But now you need to move that thing up.
This is capitalized time right
now.
Oh,
it'd be huge.
This is cash in on eyes.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, just because we are willing to talk about these kinds of things, and Russillo and Simmons did this, and I think it like you see people. I never went on spring break. Because it was always during NCAA tournament, conference tournaments. Like, it was in season for me. But, like, football players do go on spring break. And people, you know, the college kids that are in, you know, Puerto Rico, in wherever, going on, you know. And they've interviewed some of these guys. And they're like, listen, man, if I get corona, I get corona. But, like, you know what I mean? The classic.
But that's spring break.
That's spring break. If I get Corona, I get Corona, but whatever, man, it's spring break. I've been planning this for a long time, like 2 months. Like, you know, and you're, and when you're 20, 2 months is like, I've been, this has been going on in my head for years. 2 months worth of time. Hey, Billy, grab me another beer. Let me, like, boom, 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 boom. It's hard. You know, people are like, you know, everybody.
When you're 20, you're an idiot. Let's nothing, just be real.
Nothing is more important than party. Like nothing. You can't, got
girls in bikinis and you're 20 on the beach. You don't care about coronavirus. That's your answer. And they're right. When you're 20, you don't care. You're like, I'll get it. I'll make other people die because I'm 20. I'm on the beach. I'm drunk. And there are girls in bikinis.
And exactly. And it's hard where it's like, yeah, when I see the images of that and I see the, you know, you get some girl that was just like, it's okay. I take supplements and it's what, you know, and you're just like, oh my God, someone punched I'll everybody get there. It.
Yeah.
You know, but I found myself like people are getting like violently angry at them. It's like, time out. I mean, I get it. Like we're all now older and have perspective when we realize like missing a, like back in the day, missing a weekend was like, you know, yeah. it was like, oh, I'd rather die than not go out this weekend.
It's not their fault. They're idiots. That's all you can say.
You forget that, like, they're idiots, okay?
Vinny at the beach is an idiot. It's not his fault. He's drunk.
He's going to drink 22 beers in one day. And we are expecting him to be an intelligent
person.
You
want him to make smart coronavirus decisions right now? Like you want him and Fauci to have like a intelligent conversation?
It's not happening. You know, they are. It's not going to happen.
When Fauci was 20 on the beach and he knew coronavirus there, what would his decision
Fauci
be?
Fauci would have gone to the beach. So I guess, it's hard because you do want to like wake those people up. Like, hey, man, like you guys, like, what are you doing? And maybe it'll get through to them. But I don't know. Like, I guess I've just found myself but outraged at it, but laughing at it too. Of like, God, you know, you just these people. Like, you forget when you're 20. Like you said,
I didn't even hear that. I didn't even know that spring break people were still doing things.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's.
But like, aren't the spring break? MTV used to do spring break.
They used to do it well. Yeah, we were like 12. We're like, in 10 years, this is gonna be unbelievable.
Oh my God. Okay, MTV did. Let's just talk about MTV Spring Break for a minute.
It was pretty much softcore porn for a 13-year-old.
When you were in the 90s and you saw that, you were like, I can't wait till I'm older. I cannot wait till I'm an adult. This is what adults do?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
No, you're so true. I don't think any one thing made me look forward to getting older than watching MTV Spring Break. Like, it was like,
oh my God.
Look at these people.
That's their vacation?
They go there and they just are in bikinis all the time.
We just went to Chuck E. Cheese.
I mean, what are we doing here? Oh God.
No, but, so anyway, what I was going to say is I didn't even know. But so are the people that put on Spring Break not canceling Spring
They've
Break?
They've started. So that's why some of the people have been upset because the bars are now like, close, you know, like,
yeah,
it's starting to, all these people are now, it's all shutting down, they're having to go home, but like for a little while they're partying, but it's being shut down, so you get the people that like are angry that it's been shut down, you know. And but I just have found that like you do wish you could, like, it'd be hard right now, like if 21 year old Bo and 21 year old Nick came in here and we had to talk to them about like about, hey,
it
man,
would
you
be
gotta
a bit of a fight, but they'd, we convinced
I
them.
Could. We know the language to talk to him.
We'd make.
I. You know what's the greatest line ever? I always think to people. Remember what Chuck Mazursky, our high school football coach, used to tell us?
Do your best because your best will be good.
Well,
enough.
He used to tell us before every game, which was the best line ever. Just do your best. Your best is good enough. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna kill this team. But he used to remember when he'd have talks with us about like to the whole team about like not going out, not partying and all that stuff. And his line always was, guys, you have the rest of your life to party. And that, like, I'm always like, yeah, you do. You think there's this idea in your head when you're like 20 that you're just never like, this is it. This is the last weekend. Without this weekend, who knows what next weekend is? The following weekend, I can't even think that far in advance. Three weekends from now, what am I, 40?
Hold on, Vinny.
Five weeks from now, what am I, 80?
Vinny, slow down, Vinny. Vinny, hold on. Don't get yourself in a twist,
I
Vinny.
Can't look that far in the future.
Let me just ask you something, Vinny, okay?
Okay.
Is the Jersey Shore going to be the next week?
That I cannot answer. I just know what's here right now in front of me, and what's in front of me is a line of shots. Let's take these bitches.
That's
Let's
a good go. Point, Vinny. I'm with you. Let's do it.
That is who you're dealing with this. Like, you cannot look into the future more than what your next drink is going to be. Even, like, where are you guys going next? It's like, whoa, hey, I'm at this bar. I can't tell you where I'm going next here.
Let me tell you something.
I know where I'm going to end up, though. Drunkville. You know, like, but I mean, that's how it's been funny to watch these Vinny at spring break, all right? Vinny was not going to go down without a fight, all right?
Oh, God.
But, I mean, how do we feel? I mean, no NCAA tournament. So, like, NCAA tournament canceled. Some people have talked about, like, for a while they were, like, holding on to the idea of, like, oh, maybe it'll be postponed. Obviously, all those ships sailed with, like, everything being canceled. I mean, to go back to one of the questions, the big moment it was all real is, for some reason, when they canceled the College World Series, when they canceled all of spring sports, it was like, whoa.
That's months in advance. That's not
like you're like, whoa, that
that's
isn't
not
like
April. That's not May. That's all of June. We're talking summertime.
When they straight up last week canceled all of spring sports, that was a big moment too. It's like, whoa.
So what, give me your thoughts on this. Well, if they're gonna cancel spring and summer sports, well, football's only a couple months away.
I think that is one of the most terrifying questions for people is who's to say that when August comes, we are going to have a college football season? I can't, I don't want to like, you know, stoke the flames of like freak outville here, but like, I can't sit here and tell you with certainty that there's going to be that when August hits, everything status quo. And they're like, can you really picture right now in 4 or 5 months from now, whatever it would be, 5 months from now, 90,000 people going to Memorial Stadium? I can't.
I don't know. I just don't know enough about this virus. And it sounds like nobody does to know how this is going to affect us as time goes by and reemerge or whatever. Because if it reemerges, like, don't we just have to do what we're doing again?
That's what I'm saying. That's what people, one of the lines a doctor gave was like, people are treating this like it's a corona blizzard, like it's going to come and go. And it's like a corona winter. Like, we need to, like, this is going to be, again, people have talked about like a vaccine probably is like a year away. And my whole thought was like, I don't know how life can totally resume totally normal until there's a vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't. That's just how I've kind of thought about it. But you brought it. Like, I can't sit here. Yeah, because if there's no, because did you see? There was a news story today that nobody can like practice facilities for the NBA have been completely shut down. Like, their guys can't come to the facility to work out. To me, that is a huge, like, how are these NBA players going to be quarantined and people doing social distancing? And then when that's lifted, you're going to just start the playoffs? Like, I don't see how that happens. So I lean towards the NBA season's finished. Like, we're not going to get the playoffs. It's over. And to your point of like, well, and we'll get more into this in another pod when we do a deep dive on like what all this really means for Nebraska football. Yeah. But think about it. If there's no spring football and there's no organized weightlifting, workouts, conditioning, nothing. How are you all of a sudden just going to, and school's not in session, all that stuff. How are you just going to play football?
I have no idea. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's just, Nick, it's so...
Yeah, there's so many questions that you can drive yourself nuts with, like...
It's so new, and I mean, they'll figure it out, and they'll do it. I mean, here's the thing, is like...
Still a long way. It's been 1 week.
Here's what you got to remember, is back in the day, they used to say, like, show up in August, we'll...
That's true.
We'll do you know, 20 practices in this game. Like,
yeah, that's
and they
a good
didn't
point.
Train. They went. They had a job, right? So that's not the worry. But like, it's just so we're such a society of routines. You don't get to do your routine, and you have to. I mean, it's just weird, is what it is.
The other thing I thought about too, and I think people are able to do online classes. But how are, what does, you know, there's some people that have classwork they have to get completed to be eligible to be able to play.
Yeah.
Like I think Omar Manning.
I was thinking the same guy.
Old boy from Bellevue West at Betts. Yeah, always good. Xavier Betts.
They should send their logins to my house. No.
I ain't got nothing. I'll do your work for you, bro.
Hey, guess what? That might be good. That might be good for those guys.
But
make sure they get
it. How? That's the other thing I've thought about is like some of these guys have to have like maybe there's some high quiz that got to get an ACT or got to get it like or a JUCO. You got to get a couple of classes. Like how what does that look like?
I think people are going to be flexible. I mean, let's be real. Like this is a rare time where
people are suspending like more potentially. There's been talks about people like people don't have to pay their mortgage for.
People are talking about not paying mortgage. I mean, I've heard. NCAA basketball players get a chance to have another year of
that was talked about. I think that's been I think it's already been said that all those spring at like if you're a college baseball player, you get this year back. You don't lose this year.
That's the thing. Like people are being flexible for the first time in a long time because it's so unprecedented.
Right.
So that's where I think, you know, Nick, there's a chance that they cancel NFL. The chance they cancel college football next year and everybody gets a year back. That's what it's going to be.
God, that'd be crazy. But no, I've thought about that. Like you just, you start to really think about like, okay, no
Husker football.
No Husker football.
Don't even say that right now because I don't want to think about it.
Or maybe everything, what I'm hoping is maybe just everything, the calendar, everything gets pushed back. So instead of starting on Labor Day, you start on October 1st. Yeah. You know, and some people have said this could be a blessing in disguise for the NBA to wake up to like, don't start your season until Christmas. Go from Christmas to August.
Go in February.
You know what I mean? Like
February to August.
Like that. And so maybe that'll everybody will, because you don't have to necessarily start canceling everything. You can just push back the start date.
True.
But shall see.
I'd make you commissioner.
You like that?
Yeah,
you think I'm pretty good? I'd make Vinny I'd make Vinny.
I'm making Vinny my VP of commission.
MTV Spring Break. That's unbelievable.
That made me happy thinking about
that. That's a great memory right there.
There's all those like relay races with the co-eds, and it was just like I was like 13, going, "Oh my god!
Oh my god! How? Like what?" Like, there were always bikini dance contests were happening,
and it was the first time you were like, "What's the whipped cream for?" Wait a minute.
Whoa.
And then I, as a 12-year-old, was like...
Is there no more? There's no more of that, right? There's no more MTV Spring Break, right?
MTV doesn't exist anymore. It's like Teen Mom on repeat.
Catfish.
Yeah.
Pretty much it's just like dating this... I'm dating this model. You're like, oh, yeah, you are.
You met her? Nah. Episode... 528 of Catfish. Have you seen the show before? Oh, yeah. Watch it every week. And you're dating a woman you've never met. You're our perfect candidate.
Oh, I do remember the first time I ever heard about catfishing. I was like, what?
What was the guy's name for Notre Dame?
Manti Te'o. It was this girl. Like, there was that. How sad is that? He got catfished and it became like a national story.
Poor guy.
But I had no idea. I really didn't know catfishing was as rampant as it was until the show hit. And now you just... the problem is you've seen one episode of Catfish, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. You know, it's like, how are these people... How can you be so... Like, I get when it all started, however many years ago, you know, like 9, 10 years ago, where like... But until, like, now with like... You can FaceTime someone, you know what I mean? Like, you can solve that immediately.
It should be solved, yeah.
Like how
after 2011, where like everyone had an iPhone, you can send a picture. It should never
and
happen.
And FaceTime me right now. It
should never happen.
We are supposedly in love. Let's
We're
FaceTime.
We're dating. Let me see.
Oh,
That's not that big of an ass.
Oh, Teen Mom and Catfish. And there still is, like, Johnny Bananas and, like, CT are still, yeah, they still do the challenge. The only reason I know that is because Simmons is still into the challenge. But, like, those guys are, like, mid-40s still, like.
I think they do steroids.
They have to.
They do steroids so they can do the challenge.
I mean, they're like, mid-40s now, you know? I mean, give me a break. They're still at night at the house. They all get hammered, and it's great. Oh. It's all right, we're at 1 hour. How good was this wine, dog?
The wine was delicious.
Okay, I'm glad. We wanted to make sure we didn't get too deep on a handful of different topics. Well, you and I said we had a big spring and summer plan for the pod. We got our work cut out for us. Now, we're going to have to really put our creative thinking caps on here because we have a lot of time, though, to think about some interesting, you know. I don't know if people want to have us, like, you know, rewatchable certain game, you know, certain Husker football games, if we want to do, like, different things we want to do. If you guys want, like, any idea, any just to be like, hey, I want you guys to talk more about this, I'm interested in that, like, email nick@nickbot.com. I always feel like such an a-hole when I'm like, yeah, you nick@nickbot.com. It's like, who's this guy think he is? But
Vinny at spring break, Vinny, 2020.
Vinny at Kegis later, myplace.com. All right.
Vinny at Panama Beach, whipped cream topping bikini.org. Hit us up. We'll be here all week. Coronavirus.
Coronavirus. Who cares?
What's coronavirus?
Only coronavirus.
We're all getting it.
We're all getting it. So whatever. You
we're
know?
Trying to infect.
I'm Vinny. Nothing matters more than right here, right now. Me, you, the beers. Let's get it going. Line up the shots. That's Vinny.
My boy Dom. My boy Dom. He says he's gonna infect all the co-eds tonight. So he's gonna give
my
all
boy Dom. Dom is the perfect name for Vinny's friend.
Dom's gonna infect all the co-eds.
Oh god. Tonight. I gotta show you the video of the guy. I mean, it's like he is Vinny. Like, he literally is Vinny. God, no, he didn't.
How about we cheers to quarantine?
Quarantine, hey, we all are fighting the good fight here, people. Everybody do their part.
We're all together, do the right thing.
We'll this is through. Nuts, man. I needed this. This was 1 hour. This has been the best hour of my week, my friend.
Me too.
Oh, this is good. All right. Well, I'm going to take my final drink of wine as I sign off, and we'll see you next time as we're social distancing on the podcast. All right. My thanks to Pella Windows and Doors. If you're thinking about a new window or a new front door, now is the perfect time. Give Pella a call at 402-493-1350 or check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. We will see you next time on the Nick Bob Podcast.
A Parkville Media Production.